A new baseball field opening tonight in Wilson is nothing like you've ever seen. How it's helping kids of all kinds to enjoy the game and who it's dedicated to.
Construction cranes tower over Raleigh's Dix Park. I'll show you some big projects transforming the park and neighborhoods nearby into a place for families to live and play.
This sunshine is only getting brighter. I've got your weekend forecast and wind temperatures creep back into the 80s.
But let's get right with some breaking news here at 7 o'clock here on WRAL. A missing 14-year-old is back home safe after deputies searched for him for hours. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. The sheriff's office put out a notice earlier today. Within the last couple of hours, WRAL's Willie Denley spotted the teenager. He joins us live with the WRAL breaking news tracker. Willie, what a turnaround of events. You say he asked you to walk him home?
Yes, Ashley, I had actually just left the teenager's house from talking with his dad. When I was leaving the neighborhood, I spotted him walking down the street, and he identified himself as Preston Wright. Take a look at these photos. This is a photo of Preston Wright, that teenager that was just found. He told me that he ran away from home and went to a friend's house, and that it was his friend's mother that told him that he should go back home. Once he got back to his neighborhood, I saw him here. He told me why he ran away from home, and he asked me to walk him back home to his dad. And once we got to the front door, his dad was understandably very grateful to see his son again.
Just absolutely wild, Willie. What a turnaround. Thank you for your reporting, and thanks for finding him and bringing him home.
Well done, Willie. So tonight, just a touching memorial to this beautiful little boy here, Cannon Hinnant, who would have been 8 years old this year, probably starting third grade, maybe thinking about what he was going to be for Halloween.
Yeah, but his life was cut short in 2020. Hinnant was just 5 years old when police say a man shot him as he was riding his bike.
The Miracle League is opening a new field in Wilson in honor of this little boy. WRL's Carly Haynes is there right now where the event just started just a short time ago. Carly.
All right, here we go. Three, two,
it did.
One.
And look, right now, we have our ceremonial first pitch.
Here we go. Strike. I hear you.
How about that? It just started because soon we'll be seeing the first game ever played on this field. It's an honorary one-inning game following the dedication ceremony at the grand opening earlier today. This field is special because it's accessible for kids of all abilities. Now, the city of Wilson raised more than $1 million to make this happen with, of course, a generous donation from Cannon Hinnant's family. It's part of Wilson's athletic complex and it's home to Wilson's Miracle League. It'll also connect to a playground that's been renovated to support kids of all abilities. Cannon and his family also had a hand in that as well. They've done a lot of different things to honor his memory, including vigils and a memorial bike ride. They've really turned their tragedy into triumph to help make this baseball field a reality for so many kids, and families of those with disabilities have shared just how grateful they are for that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing because he's never even, we've been to a lot of baseball games, but he's never had the opportunity to actually be on the baseball field and to be part of a team or feel like he's part of a team. So it's pretty awesome for him.
You know, what makes this baseball field so special is the ADA accessible turf here. It's made with sand, not with rubber, so kids, they won't be hurting themselves if they fall on the ground. But Hannah's mom was telling us just how much her little boy loved playing outdoors. So this is really a home run for the family and the city of Wilson.
And what a beautiful night to have all of this happen. A terrible story, but what a triumph tonight. All right, Carly Haynes, live for us in Wilson. Thank you.
I'm Chris Lovingood in the WRAL Live Center with some breaking news from the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office. We are learning from investigators that they have a warrant out for the arrest of this man right here. This is Thomas Blake. He's 36 years old, currently in the Georgetown County Detention Center in South Carolina. And the Sheriff's Office in Cumberland County says that this man is wanted on first-degree murder in the death of Henry Downing Jr. This happened Tuesday, and this is the scene when we were there with our cameras after that happened. We're trying to learn a little bit more from this from investigators, but we do know, again, a warrant is out for the arrest of Henry Downing Jr., and the expectation is that he'll be extradited to Cumberland County. And mind you, Georgetown County's detention center is about 150 miles away from Fayetteville. So still we're trying to get more pieces of information here, but again, We know that the warrant is out for the arrest of Thomas Blake, again, for the murder of Henry Downey Jr.
All right, Chris, thank you. Taking a live look now at Dick's Park with downtown Raleigh, just beyond the treetops there. Right now, a new skyline is taking shape along the edge of the park. Construction cranes rise above Lake Wheeler Road. They're building several new towers, places for people to live and shop right next to the park. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm takes us inside the transformation that's been years in the making.
The treetops that create a canopy of shade in Dick's Park are now overshadowed by the construction cranes towering above.
There's nothing like the park anywhere else, and so, you know, we want to embrace that.
Raleigh developer Brian Kane is part of the team behind a $700 million project next to Dick's Park known as The Weld. They were joined by city and park leaders to celebrate the start of construction on the two 20-story towers that will bring 675 apartments to Hamill Drive and Lake Wheeler Road. A block away, the Park City South project will add more than 300 apartments. And closer to the State Farmers Market, a rezoning readies this land between Lake Wheeler Road and South Saunders Street for a future development with towers as tall as 20 stories. Industrial buildings and smaller homes used to line this edge of the park.
This area here is very underutilized, and now we're going to be using it for the highest purpose, and that's housing people and providing them a great place to live.
Inside the park, construction is underway on the Gibson Play Plaza. This 18-acre site will feature a picnic grove and multi-level playground with a waterfall, sensory maze, and sand bowl.
What I like to say, it's like going to Disney World without having to pay.
The Play Plaza is part of the first phase of the park's transformation from a former state hospital to a destination. And with the developments rising up around it, Dick's Park will have hundreds of new neighbors.
For me, that means jobs, that means housing, that means an improved quality of life. And the park will be transformational for this community.
The developers of The Weld are also donating $500,000 to the park to build a trail system connecting to the park and then the park on down to downtown Raleigh there. These apartments should be ready by the summer of 2025. The park expects the Gibson Play Plaza to be ready later that year or early in 2026. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And the city of Raleigh also plans to improve Lake Wheeler Road along the park. Construction should start next fall.
A month ago today, a shooting at UNC's campus took the life of a professor. Today, the school's board of trustees held its first full meeting to discuss security there. University leaders heard from the campus police chief, as well as the director of emergency management, about their plans for new safety measures. Chief Brian James said the department is looking at security camera placements and access, along with the possibility of license plate readers.
We also want to work with campus partners to consolidate our camera systems. We have a number of different camera systems on campus, and we're trying to look at a way that we can consolidate that to more or less simplify access.
Chief James said UNC is also looking at welcoming other law enforcement agencies to campus to better learn the area in the event of an emergency.
Our state has a new tool to fight the opiate epidemic. It's a mobile clinic. It drives from place to place to provide treatment. For one of the clinicians, this work is personal. He once needed similar treatment. As WRAL's Ali Ingersoll digs into the data, this clinician shares why the mobile unit can be life-changing.
This sign here tells you that this mobile unit is a little different than your average one. It's helping people who are dealing with substance use disorder, meeting them where they're at.
Brad Townsend takes a tour of this mobile unit.
Oh, that's sick, dude.
Yeah, it's like a whole clinic.
And while small, it is a fully equipped clinic with an exam room and testing materials on four wheels. This isn't Townsend's first time at a clinic. He's been in recovery for 4 years now after more than a decade of using drugs. He went to a local rehab but relapsed, so Townsend wound up in a California center that offers medically assisted treatment.
It gave me enough time to actually hear what people were saying to me instead of constantly thinking about how I was going to get my next fix.
That's what doctors are offering here, too.
So the treatment happens inside this unit, but the doctor says the magic actually happens outside as people here are building community, making connections, and that's where the change happens.
Especially the peer treatment, having someone that's been there and made it out, that definitely would help a lot.
The crisis is at a critical point now. Each day, 11 North Carolinians die from overdoses, data shows. And even more people are surviving them.
We're talking about more than 9,500 emergency department visits for them just in the last 12 months, according to the data.
That averages out to 91.2 overdose visits per every 100,000 residents in the state. These are the counties with the highest monthly rates, according to the state. And as you can see, all of them are rural. Attorney General Josh Stein says these counties face unique challenges, and this mobile unit is one answer.
There are creative solutions being identified and deployed all across the state.
Townsend feels having something like this mobile unit in the county will be life-changing and life-saving.
It's an epidemic now. You know what I'm saying? It's everywhere. You can't ignore it, so why stigmatize it? Like, if it's your kid dying, you know, I think it would make a difference.
This was just a pilot program right now that got off of the ground because of grant funding. But the attorney general says this is an example of what could be done with the opioid settlement funding. In Robeson County, Allie Ingersoll, WRAL News.
Let's hope that pilot project shows a lot of success and can turn into something more. College game day is in the triangle this week as Duke takes on Notre Dame. Up next, we talk live with the man in charge of the operation as the show comes to Durham for the first time.
Plus, we're going to take a dip into the archives, take a look back at the 65-year history between Duke and Notre Dame. Kat?
It's not fully orange yet, but there is some orange peeking through in between the green in the North Carolina mountains. This is a photo from Blowing Rock. I'll have a closer look at your weekend travel forecast coming up.
The game day bus is in Durham this week. All eyes are on Duke University as they get ready to take on Notre Dame. Crews were setting up the outdoor set on Duke's Able Quad. It's the first time the show has come to Durham for football. The show travels every week, but coming to a new campus means new variables and, as you know, a new crowd of frenzied fans. Joining me now to break down how this is all going to work is Bob Weisman, Duke's Deputy Athletic Director for Operations and Capital Projects. Bob, you're essentially heading up this whole thing for the university, so thank you during a very busy week for joining us.
No problem. My pleasure. Really looking forward to having everybody on campus and getting the chance to showcase the best of both worlds here between our academic areas and at night, our athletic campus and our outstanding football program.
This is game day's first time at Duke. When did you get the call that they were coming and how long do you have to start planning?
Yeah, that's a great question. We started to have an inkling about a week and 8 days ago, and it really started to come to fruition on Saturday night, you know, as we start to see the scores fall for the other games that we thought were a possibility. And then shortly after about 10:30 at night, we got the call. And by Sunday morning, we were on the ground and logistical planning had started with the ESPN folks on site.
What does that setup process look like?
You know, it's a lot of pre-work. I mean, these are conversations, especially in terms of location and finding the right spot that started years ago. Just in preparing for the possibility if college game day ever came. And then it was really about getting on the ground and connecting with all the parties, whether that be our safety folks, our board of trustees who are in town for homecoming weekend, our alumni association, and ESPN in general, and making sure we can keep a vibrant campus active and ready to go, but also have a celebration of a bunch of student athletes who've just been outstanding this year and a coaching staff that is taking the program to new heights.
You know, the basketball version of this show has been to campus many times. So how is this weekend going to be different?
You know, that's actually one of the parts we've been really lucky. We have longstanding relationships with the entire crew from operations to even some of the talent. And so for us, it's a little bit of rinse and repeat with the same people again. And we're excited. The scale here is larger. You know, Cameron Indoor Stadium is 9,300 people, and we wouldn't be surprised if we saw that many people outside on Saturday morning.
Well, you know, you're going to have a whole lot of people coming onto campus very early in the morning on Saturday, I think, 6:30 a.m. But Duke campus is used to huge crowds of students gathering all in one place. Krzyzewskiville immediately comes to mind. Are there lessons that your team has taken from that tradition to apply to this week?
Absolutely. You know, we spend a lot of time, whether it be athletic events or other campus major events like commencements and throughout our footprint here on Duke's campus. And, you know, we learn lessons every time we host these events. And one of the great things about it from top to bottom is we have incredible partners, both within the community and within the university. So these things are fairly easy once we get the notification to sit down and start to apply those things we've learned. And even using some of our outstanding consultants from all across the country who are experts in crowd management and handling these kind of roving shows that go all across the country.
Well, it's certainly no small feat. It's going to be a great day to put the spotlight on Duke. So all the best as you get ready for Saturday, and just wishing you all the best success. And, of course, go Blue Devils. Thanks so much for joining
Thank
us.
You.
And
hey,
by the way, one more thing that we should mention, you know, the celebrity, the actor Ken Jeong, you know him from The Hangover, other hilarious roles in various movies. He's going to be the celebrity picker, Dan. So there's even more to get excited about.
Game day is always such a good time. And these are just iconic teams. I mean, look at the emblems. We all know them and love them. Duke and Notre Dame have not played all that many times, though. In 65 years, they've gone back and forth only 7 times. Now, as the teams prepare for the 8th chapter in this series, we want to take a look back into the archives at some of those old school matchups. The teams first faced off in 1958. No college game day back then, not to mention no high-tech video archives either. This is the program. We were able to find this for the game. 50 cents for everything that you need to know about the high-powered Blue Devils and the Fighting Irish. The game itself wasn't very high-powered, we must say. Notre Dame won just 9-7. Duke got another shot just 3 years later. Notre Dame came to Durham 1961. These are pictures from that very game. The stadium was still called Duke Stadium. It didn't bear Wallace Wade's name until 6 years later. The Blue Devils got the revenge that day. They beat the Fighting Irish 37-13. We don't have any pictures from this next game. It was in 1966. That's probably not that bad of a thing. Notre Dame actually won 64-0. So we're going to move on. We'll just go on to the next one. The teams wouldn't play again for another 40 years. It was 2007. Duke goes on the road again and loses again. And that makes 4 games played across about 50 years' time. These days, the teams are thrown onto the schedule a whole lot more often. They've played 3 times since 2016, and Duke won just 1 of those 3 games. So this year, it might be the year. I'm not going to lie. Notre Dame looks pretty good, but Duke is undefeated, and they're looking really good, too. And if history is any indication, let's just do a little, let's take a look here. Win, loss, loss. Win, loss, loss. Are you seeing the pattern here? What's next? Win, maybe? All eyes on Durham this weekend. Kickoff, of course, is on Saturday, and the weather is going to be perfect for all of those people that are going to go out there for game day, Kat.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be rooting on the Blue Devils. I always cheer for our home teams, unless they're against the Wolfpack. Then, you know, I got to make decisions. But Notre Dame versus Duke, 7:30 kickoff, 73 degrees. It's going to be mostly clear. It's going to be dry. It is going to be a beautiful day for college football. Campbell also playing NC Central on Saturday, 79 degrees for kickoff at 4 o'clock. NC State taking on Louisville at Carter-Finley tomorrow. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a great night to grill out for tailgating dinner, 77 degrees at 5 o'clock. By kickoff, 73. And by the end of the game, temperatures in the mid-60s. But let's switch gears here away from football and go with the other sign of fall. We've got fall football, and we've got fall color in the mountains, and we're starting to see a little bit of color. You are still going to see far more green if you are headed to the mountains this weekend than yellows and oranges and reds. But we are starting to see some pops of sunshine in our higher elevations, Blowing Rock, Grandfather Mountain, Mount Mitchell, to name a few of those spots. And here's the average. So if you're thinking about planning a trip to the mountains, it's mid-October that our higher elevations above about 4,000 feet see the peak of fall color, and the lower elevations, it's late October. Early November is the peak of fall foliage around here. Keep in mind, we'll still see some color during October, but on average, the peak, the best color, holds off a little bit later. We'll be watching this year. It looks like it's going to be a near normal year for us so far. If you're headed to the mountains tomorrow, though, we could wake up to some patchy fog there. Otherwise, a nice day in the Highlands, 72, Asheville, 80, Grandfather Mountain, 64, and by Sunday, 67 on Grandfather Mountain, 73 in Boone, 80 degrees in Asheville. It ends up being a great weekend. Your beach forecast tomorrow, if you're headed to the east, it's still going to be mostly cloudy, if not a full overcast along the Outer Banks. However, Saturday, you should get to see more sunshine, and it's going to be really nice. High temperatures range from the mid-70s to about 80 Saturday. No imminent threats from the tropics. There are two tropical storms out there, Philippe and Rena. They're right next to each other, and they may actually do a little dance with each other. So let's start with Tropical Storm Rena. It moves generally to the north as a tropical storm into early next week, but Philippe may actually be pushed to the south by Rena as they kind of spin counterclockwise around each other. And that's why there's still a lot of model uncertainty on the long range forecast for these systems. But generally speaking, they're going to be headed to the north and not, more than likely at least, not pose a threat to the U.S. What could happen, though, we could see what we call a Fujiwara effect. They spin around each other for a little bit before they head to the north. So we're going to watch that and see how much it alters their track. Temperatures over the next 7 days look great. It's not going to be chilly fall weather necessarily, but it's just going to be really nice. High temperatures in the upper 70s to lower 80s. More sunshine in store, especially after tomorrow afternoon, and low temperatures for the most part in the upper 50s.
Looks good. All right. Thanks, Kat.
This year's NASCAR All-Star Race went so well, they decided to do a round two.
The event's coming back to the historic North Wilkesboro track. When tickets are going up for sale, and who's getting first dibs?
The NASCAR All-Star Race will return to our state next year, and it's coming back to the same track. The race will again come to the historic North Wilkesboro Speedway. It recently restored it after it went unused for decades. The three-day weekend is full of events. It's next May. If you got tickets to the race this year, you have a chance at pre-sale tickets beginning tomorrow. Tickets go on sale to everybody starting next Thursday.
And don't forget, the IBMA Bluegrass Live Festival kicks off tomorrow. The city expecting 200,000 people to show up. Spans five blocks, six stages, more than 100 bands. Tickets are required if you want to go to the Red Hat Amphitheater shows, but the rest is free. WRL is a proud sponsor. Very excited.
I'm going to be going down there on Saturday. Enjoy. Looking forward to it. Thank you for making WRL your choice for local news.
Have a good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.